Now, Jeremy Corbyn has said it's time to make poverty porn history. The Labour leader's comments were aimed at TV shows like Channel 4's Benefit Street. He said that if TV stereotyped people with disabilities or people of colour the way they do working class people, it wouldn't be allowed. So let's make poverty porn history. Let's just remind ourselves of some of the characters in Channel 4's Benefit Street.
And most of the residents,
penny for the poor,
are claiming benefits.
Probably 5% of people on this road that are working.
But times are getting tougher.
Housing benefit is going to get cut. What kind of nonsense is that?
They're having to learn to get by on less.
How are we supposed to live on £50 a week?
And rely on each other more.
If the council won't come and pick it up, we'll do it ourselves.
Some guy!
It's mad. It's just like one great big family.
Is there any point?
Don't talk to me.
Is there any point?
Do not talk
is there any
to
point?
Me.
I don't think you could ever meet anything any more dysfunctional.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, send me down a couple of
bob. I'm not sure if I should laugh at that. Anyway, so is it time we consign these programmes to history, or would that be denying a voice to a big part of our society? With me this morning, commentator Newton Emerson and the Labour Party member Phil Kelly. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Phil, first of all, what do you think? It's one of those things you wonder if you're meant to say it out loud, but there is an entertainment value in these programmes, and I don't just mean laughing at people that are on benefits, but in terms of the characters, the people that you meet. But is that important when it's such a sensitive subject?
Well, it is. I mean, it's much more complex than these production companies that make huge amounts of money out of these shows demonstrate. I mean, they're so-called reality shows, and you know, by and large, they're trash TV. They focus very often on extreme cases, and they serve a prevailing narrative, Vinny, that, you know, it has sought over decades to demonise and stigmatise those people on benefits. And the producers, whether consciously or unconsciously, are reinforcing that idea that poverty, that deprivation, is caused by the behaviour of the poor. And this is exactly the kind of ideology that underpins the welfare reforms of Ian Duncan Smith, who doesn't see poverty or destitution or, you know, any of these issues as a systemic problem. He blames the individual, you know, their life choices. And the key to this, Vinny, is if these programs are about informing the public, then they fail, because the public is woefully ill-informed when it, you know, comes to ideas around welfare, around employment.
But does that all stem from programmes like this? Because surely, for example, the people that take part in these programmes, like you heard that woman on there, I think her name, she refers to herself as White D. You know, they I would assume, want to be involved. You know, they sign up for this. It's their lives that they are reflecting onto the TV.
Exactly, Vinny. Not everybody who lives in a working class community or an estate wants to be part of a reality TV show. So that immediately tells you that you're looking at a very small group within these communities. What I want to say is attitudes. Regardless of the motives behind these programs, they are part of a huge deluge of tabloid narrative around benefits and welfare that is demonizing working class people. And attitudes are hardening against people on benefits. And if you look at, I want to inform you, is some of the misconceptions. Recent polls have showed that on average, people estimate that 27% of Social Security payments are lost to fraud, and the reality is it's 0.7%. And also, they believe that 41% goes to unemployed people when it's just 3%. So healthy media, to my mind, challenges myths and prejudice. But what we see through these programs and through the front pages of our tabloid newspapers is a reinforcement of a toxic myth around working class people.
Newton Emerson?
Well, I actually made a television programme making those exact points, those last two statistics that Phil has repeated there. So I hope I'm not coming across here as attacking the poor myself. I mean, my concern with Jeremy Corbyn's statement is that he said he wanted to see less of these programmes. He even discussed with a Labour Party member at the event complaining to Ofcom to have them reduced. Now, when these programmes first appeared, a common criticism from the left was to say, where are the programmes about tax avoidance? Where are the programmes about wealthy people stashing their money offshore? A very legitimate criticism, and again, one that the Nolan Show even has looked at, and myself. But instead of that, we have now gone very, very quickly to away from having an argument to just shutting people up That seems to me to be a very alarming aspect of Labour culture now. Rather than engaging with debate, their first instinct is to say, even on an economic argument like this, this is a prejudice, let's ban it. And I think that what's going to happen there is you're going to find that that will cause even more antagonism towards people on benefits, because it is working class people, by and large, who support welfare reform. They live, generally speaking, among people who are claimants. They believe that they have a correct perception of the problems in the system, and they become very frustrated when they don't see those discussed.
Phil, you basically want to just shut people up, stop them talking.
Not saying that at all, because what these programmes are doing is they're not giving an authentic voice of people within working class communities. And, you know, Newton's talking about...
Says who, though, Phil?
Communities.
To be fair, says who?
Well, let me give you one very clear example. Says the residents of Grenfell, who, after we saw the tragedy that unfolded there, when the media descended on that area, they said, where have you been to tell our stories? Because unlike, you know, the sort of extreme cases that we get on Channel 4, Channel 5... These people had formed a residence committee, and they'd informed the authorities that there was a tragedy almost certain to happen, and they'd been ignored. And
what is extreme about, for example, that programme Benefit Street, which I did watch a lot of it myself? What element of that is extreme?
I don't need to focus on individual programmes, but, you know, there's programmes on crime, petty theft, I think there was a programme that was muted. I don't know if it was made by the same company, Love Production, Immigration Street. I mean... It is so led.
Well, the reason I ask that is because I have watched that programme, and I know you don't want to just narrow it down to that one in particular, but for example, that programme covered a whole variety of issues, from single parents to mental health issues to substance abuse, and the way I perceived it, it didn't seem to be done in a sensationalist way. It seemed very real. I didn't watch that programme and think, well, look at these idiots that are scrounging or whatever. I kind of looked at it and thought, well, look, it's important that we... Go ahead.
You're correct. People will watch a programme and they will take from it different things in different ways. My problem with it is this. On social media, there was a reaction to Benefit Street, that particular programme, where people were saying, hang these people, or, you know, put them in jail.
But Phil, you can't judge things with what people say on social media, for example.
Yes, I agree. But the problem is, Vinny, that every day, and I'll tweet a snapshot of some front pages of our tabloids to your show later. The problem is that these programs are reinforced and backed up by tabloid, lurid, false headlines. And even in your clip, one of the residents in the start of this show says 5% of people, only 5% of people in this street are working. That's a lie. That was proven to be a lie.
So was it the tabloids that are at fault then, Phil, and not these types of programs? Or is it a combination, as you say it?
It's a combination. We have, over the last 3 decades, had a narrative that has built up, which seeks to demonise and stigmatise working class people. It seeks to destroy any kind of social cohesion, and it's all about saying that inequality is a fair reflection of people's worth and abilities, and we know that's a lie.
So what you want to do, Phil, is you want to ban these types of programmes, is that right?
Not necessarily, but I want them to be put in context. I also want the public to be made aware that, you know...
What do you mean by that, put them in the context?
Well, as Newton referred to earlier, you know, you look at the TV listings and you'll see Benefit Street, Immigration Street, Repossession, all this very vitriolic attacks, toxic kind of themes around immigration and welfare. What you don't see is the money, the corporate welfare that we're spending. You don't see programs about poverty paying bosses. You don't see, rip-off rent landlords.
Phil, that the BBC have covered all of those programmes. I want to bring Newton back in at this point. Do you agree with anything in terms of what Phil has said, in terms of the stigma that can sometimes be associated with having to claim benefits, this perception that many people have, and therefore programmes like this, they're not going to do anything to try and change your mind on that?
Well, I mean, I think that all these criticisms of the benefit programmes are very familiar. What's new here is this move by members of the Labour Party to simply have programmes banned. I heard Phil refer there to programmes about, to making programmes about tax avoidance and so on. But, I mean, we are starting to, and landlords, for example, rip-off landlords, we are starting to get programmes like that. And I think that where is the principle of free expression and engagement in debate in the Labour Party? I mean, is the Brexit vote, for example, responsible? Is that partly due to our inability to discuss issues that English people in particular care about? We're oblivious here in Northern Ireland, I think, to the pressures in England, pressures of population, pressures of immigration and economic pressures, house price pressures. And I mean, I personally suspect that a lot of the frustration we're seeing in English politics is because people feel that they can't discuss legitimate concerns. And I mean, and here's another one. Here's another one we're going to be told, you know, you can't discuss that. You see people in your neighbourhood who you know are ripping off the system, your welfare system, but it's somehow a prejudice to even mention it. I don't think that that serves the debate, serves the Labour Party. I don't think it serves anyone's interests.
Phil?
Nobody is advocating that you don't deal with people who are ripping off the system. I think that what the kind of politics that I believe in says that you prioritise the people who are ripping off the system at the top. So you start there and you work your way down, because the logic of, you know, taking money from the system isn't unique to working class communities. Fiddling the system isn't unique to people on benefits. And also,
so make that case. Rather than trying to shut up
and
your opponent.
I'm not saying shut it down completely, Newton. You're not listening to me. What I'm saying is we need to put things into context. And also, when people talk about benefits and when these shows get shown, they more often than not, as that show in its own premise says, out-of-work people. The biggest recipient of benefits is in-work benefits. £16 billion worth of benefits go unclaimed, and 6.5 million people in our society are looking for permanent, stable work. We have a society which is built on insecure jobs, people living on the margins from paycheck to paycheck, and these people are in receipt of benefits. And also, we are subsidising their bosses. We are subsidising by giving in-work.
Well, I'm well aware of that, and you're correct on all those points. However, I think that it is a major step for a political party, a potential party of government, to start deciding what is and is not valid television.
Nobody's saying that. They're highlighting.
Well, they are. Well, they are saying that. They talked about going to Ofcom to have this entire class of program ruled apart.
Yeah. Well, Newton, we're also what Labour is doing is shining a light not only into who produces these programs, what the motivation behind them is, because it should be exposed, but also our own tabloid press. Because if you look at the lurid murder press, the daiquiri press, they're falling in circulation. People are stopping buying these newspapers, and also their influence is starting to wane. And people are fed up with the...
So why is Corbyn speaking out about it in the first place? Let's that quote again from Jeremy. If TV stereotype people with disabilities or people of colour the way they do working class people, it wouldn't be allowed. So let's make poverty porn history. Is that not some kind of censorship, Phil?
Well, I think let's start shining a true light. Let's give a real voice to these communities.
Why didn't he say that instead of saying, let's make poverty porn history?
Well, I don't write Jeremy Corbyn's speeches, luckily for him, but then... You know, what Labour's mission is to do is to empower working class people, is to give them a voice, is not
surely
to...
these programmes,
to
an extent, Phil, are
show.
Giving these people a voice. I understand what you're saying,
well,
because
no,
some
not.
People don't
it's
want to be
edited.
On TV. Yeah, but well, you're, so what you're saying is they're being misrepresented on TV.
Well, they said it themselves, because in response to certainly the first series of Benefit Streets, a number of the residents were saying this was edited in such a way as to make us look bad, and they felt completely let down by the producers of that show. So, you know, when we talk about reality TV, we have to remember reality TV is edited, it is cut, it is there to produce a snappy, punchy show for
as most TV shows are.
Yes, so let's not use these as a tool of informing the public, the wider public, about what life is like in working class communities. There's much more effective ways, and there's also much better ways of bringing the voice of the marginalised to the fore, rather than these kind of snapshot programmes that focus.
But why is that a political party, or why is that a potential government party's business? It's none of your business. It's
This is
entertainment and private television. This is private television companies. It's not your job to interfere and tell people what they can and can't watch, can and can't make. And it's a very, very direct and aggressive intrusion into the media. Have you no point of principle where you think that perhaps that is a little bit dubious? Are you not concerned that equating a social class to a racial group introduces a whole new class of identity politics into the system that is very, very dangerous?
What I find dangerous is that we have a tabloid press almost exclusively that seeks to demonise and stigmatise people on welfare and immigrants. What I find really apparent is that
we're talking about television here, not about.
And we also then, and that's exactly my point, we have production companies who then march to the beat of the drum of this lurid tabloid narrative. And where does these tabloids get this narrative? They get it from Rupert Murdoch and the backers of the Conservative Party, who have sought over decades to demonise working class people. We saw it during the Hillsborough tragedy when people, you know, were the
okay. Let's stay on point, Phil.
The dead, and even Boris Johnson talked of a tanked up mob. You know, years later, still demonising working class people, and that is unacceptable.
Okay, Newton, do you agree to any extent that there is an element of voyeurism about this? People, a lot of people, probably watch these programmes because it's like staring in through someone's front window, and they're looking at people that are really struggling on whether it is struggling financially, on benefits, whether they're with their family, with substance abuse.
Yes,
of course, some people will be watching this and they will be laughing at them. It's a very strange form of entertainment. You know, I'm not sure people sit down and watch these as they would say, for example, Blue Planet or a documentary. This is some where they find entertainment and fun. And these people, a lot of the time, have a very difficult life, and that kind of thing maybe wouldn't help.
Yes, but what I'm trying to do here is boil down to the principle, the authority by which the Labour Party can decide what does and does not appear on television, and you know what is its basis for believing that it can do that, and that isn't an extremely disturbing position for a political party to take. We'd all be very well aware of how dodgy it was if the Tories were doing it. So what makes Labour think it's any better? The kind of you know, sixth form paranoid media conspiracy theories that Labour people believe and that we've just heard, frankly, seem to be embedded very, very deeply in the Corbynist culture. And if these people are going to wind up in government, they seem to blame all the world's ills on a free press and private television. And now they've declared that programmes that they find insulting should be banned by Ofcom. So, I mean, where are we heading here? What kind of media environment are we heading for here?
Let's take a call on this.
If you want to debate these issues, you're not going to be allowed to.
Alex in Lisburn. Alex, go ahead.
No, I just listened to the guy from Labour. The first thing
his name's
was,
Phil Kelly. Say hello.
Oh, Phil, I didn't catch it there. The first thing Phil said was, you know, this company made all this money from this programme. It seems to be a cry. When I listen to these Labour people, like the Corbyn people, it's always a cry to make money. I'd ask this. You have a large company in England that makes Range Rovers and Jaguars. Cars that aren't bought by the ordinary man in the street. Does he think would he support that company? Is that company getting into trouble? Or would he rather see a company that makes cars for wealthy people close? The other thing I say is, he talked about the tabloids. Who's banned the tabloids? People can make up their own minds as to what they want to read.
Let Phil respond to that.
The tabloids in the first place.
Phil, go ahead, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know who runs the tabloids, and they tend to be offshore foreign-born individuals who have a political mission in this society, who have backed Thatcherism, who have backed New Labour, who have a vested political interest, who have, you know, applauded the deindustrialisation of our country and the destruction of our trade union movement. So, you know, I am frequently dismayed by working class people buying copies of The Sun or The Daily Mail, and the less copies of those newspapers that are sold, the better. Newton talked about a free press. We do not have a free press in this country. You know, we only need to look back to the Leveson inquiry when, you know, newspapers in the country were hacking the phones of a murdered schoolgirl.
Of course, have the option whether to buy certain papers and whether to watch certain programmes,
yes,
like The Morning Star, in terms of papers.
Fact that, you know, when you look at, you know, there has been independent reports even on the BBC about the reporting around Corbyn and, you know, how it was very, it tended to be biased towards him. But, you know, the good thing about Labour is the message is cutting through despite that. And what all we're saying around the idea of these shows is that the victims are blamed and the real villains are hidden. And there should be more, you know, the cry to journalism, to really good journalism, to really good media, is don't go for the easy, you know, the sellable garbage, but present to the public. Do your work as a journalist, really good investigative journalist. We've seen it with, you know, the Panama Papers, the Paradise Papers. You know, start shining a light into where the real villains of this piece are. And, you know, who has been the real victim in our society over decades.
All right.
It's working class communities, the length and breadth of the UK.
We'll leave it at that. Phil Kelly and Newton Emerson, thank you very much. Thanks to Alex as well there on the phones.